Jim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Jim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who's covered the NBA for over two decades, and more specifically the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here, TK Show, recording from the home studio. A little special episode here. I think if you know the show, you're familiar with what the format's going to be. I have Guy Haberman here, my friend, podcaster, broadcaster. I guess that rhymes. I didn't even know podcaster and broadcaster. It rhymes. I had first time it ever dawned on me. Guy, you're leading me into new vocabulary. I appreciate it. But I bring Guy on here to talk about all things, but I especially bring him on like we did when I pulled my podcast out independently. And thank God I did, Guy. Thank God I did. That was back in November. I think we recorded before that. But I bring Guy on to when things change. And things changed for me last week. I left The Athletic. I went to the San Francisco Standard. I've been writing now for a little over a week. I think I've written five columns in a little over a week. And I like that production. That's what I do. But I think it raised some questions. I don't want to be too self-absorbed here, but I want to kind of guide questions to this format where I'm not just saying whatever I say. Guy, you know the market. You know me. We've had discussions about all sorts of media stuff, all sorts of career stuff. And you're someone I think is going to write and ask me good questions, maybe some things I hadn't thought about, and maybe some things I better answer. So, Guy, I'm going to turn this over to you. We're recording this on Monday afternoon. The day after the 49ers blow that game to the Rams. I just got back from L.A., had just recorded a podcast, TK Show with Steve Kerr. So I'm a little loopy right now, so that might be good for this. I'm a little tired. I've been talking a lot. I want to turn it over, Guy Haberman. It's your show now. Ask me whatever. Whatever you want to know, whatever you think people are curious about, fire away about my move from The Athletic, my move to the San Francisco Standard, and whatever else crosses your mind.
I like this. I'm like the I don't want to call you Michael Jordan, but I feel like Ahmad Rashad. You know, I'm like your personal, you know, or like when Oprah has something to say, she goes to Gail.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take the Oprah and MJ comp anytime. I actually thought about, like, I have other people I could ask and who would do this. And I thought, you know what? They're not going to ask me the questions Guy's going to ask me. So that's why I bring it. I don't want to flatter you. You go wherever you want to. But okay. I just couldn't think of anyone else to do this. The last one went well and it got a lot of listenership. That's a big thing. That's a big part of, I think, what we'll discuss is being reactive to what succeeds. And that show succeeded. I think it served its purpose. And I think people listened to it. Hope the same thing happens here.
Well, okay. So here's what my hope for people listening is that I ask questions that you're thinking of. And I know from your seat, it doesn't feel this way because it probably isn't this way, but it's easy to look at you, Tim, and go, gosh, Kawakami's changing jobs again. Can this guy stay in one place? So let's just start with that. Why did you, what is going on here? And I think part of, you know, the reason that the San Francisco Standard hired you, I would imagine, beyond just the content they get, the high quality volume shooter that you are, was that it would get attention, right? New sports page, here's Kawakami. So I think there are a lot of people who probably look at this and go, Tim just went from The Athletic, which feels like the behemoth of sports journalism right now. And I'm not exactly sure what he just went to.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's a great, what are you
it's
doing?
A great question. First thing I'll say, people have asked me that, my friends, and like, can't you keep a job? It's like, well, I was at The Athletic for 7 years, more than 7 years. So that's a lot in this kind of sped up media industry world. I thought 5 years when I started, you know, when we started Athletic Bay Area, five really good years, and then we'll see. I really thought that. So in my mind, and I realize what it looks from the outside, all my friends have been staying the same. I was just down in L.A. and Gary Klein is the Rams beat writer, and he's been there for 30 something years. Tom Tolbert checks in with me. He's like, God, did you change your job again? Yeah, we can't all have the same job for 30 years, Tommy. Now, I realize 7 years doesn't seem like a lot. It does to me. It felt like, you know, I don't want to do the George W. Bush mission accomplished, but it felt like I did what I wanted to do there. It felt like we established something important and something lasting. That's important to me. I don't think The Athletic's going anywhere. I know The Athletic Bay Area is strong as hell. What Marcus Thompson, myself, and many others built there was doing it the right way. And 7 years is a long cycle, Guy Haberman. It's like two cycles in the media industry. I realize the Athletic is, you know, as I said, I think it's going to last more than 100 years, what Adam Hansman and Alex Mather built. But they left 2 years ago. So that began the countdown clock in my head. Those were the people I started with. They believed in me. I believed in them. I think we did great things. Things began to change. And I don't think anybody should shock who knows me or even, you know, listens to me a little bit, got frustrating for me. And not yesterday or 2 days ago, like 2 years ago, like 3 years ago, like 4 years ago. That's okay. Jobs can get frustrating. But I started thinking, if this is going to be not the same job that I took, and it wasn't, and these are not the same bosses, and they aren't, and if the situation looks like it's going to change even more, which I'm sure it will, I'm going to start looking for other stuff. And, you know, things developed with a standard over a couple years in different ways, and they presented me an opportunity to do exactly what I want to do. And I'm away from being a manager. I did that for 4 years or whatever it was at The Athletic. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm a writer. I'm a columnist. I'm a podcaster, whatever you want to say. I just don't want to manage and edit. And that was great for the years I did it. It was intense for the years I did it. I want to write. Where can I write? Where can I write the stuff I want to do, connect to a local audience, to do it, you know, in a way I was doing at The Athletic, a way I was doing at the Mercury News. And I kind of go back to that, the blog, you know, the Harbaugh years, the wild Don Nelson years. I was like, they're presenting me that opportunity. And if I want to put their money, I guess, where my mouth is or whatever way you want to put it, I better take this if it's the right job. So I hadn't really thought about you keep changing jobs until I run into people who have had the same job for a long time. But if the medium changes, if the situation changes, and it did, and it will, I want to go to where it's most comfortable for me and where I do my best stuff. And I think this is it. I think the freedom, the local aspect, it was just, we talked about this last time, and I'm sure I did not please Athletic executives when we talked about it last time, but you know, they're going national. They're going quick hits. They're going for volume. They're going for the big, big story. I think there's some people in there who just want to do the Sports Illustrated thing again. And I don't get that. I think Sports Illustrated was great 20 years ago. It's not great. You know, this is not the situation now. It's my opinion. But this was the chance to walk into something I really want to do. So I appreciate it. You can keep pushing me on this. I just think 7 years was a totality for me. It just felt right. And I'll bring this up one time, maybe. I don't want to keep going on this, but I made a lot of money in 7 years. And it was I had the ability to take a shot on something. It's not very risky. It's a little risky. And I had this shot. I had this chance because things worked out very well for me in 7 years with The Athletic. And I just like, if you got this opportunity, you got the freedom, go do something you really want to do. And I think starting something at the Standard is appealing to me. I'm not going to say it's the same thing as starting The Athletic Bay Area, but it has the same vibes to me. I won't have the same role, but I love the idea. Maybe can we do something that lasts another 100 years, just like we did at The Athletic. I'd love for that to happen at the Standard.
What are you doing with all your money?
I have no comment on what I'm doing with the money, but it's nice to have it, Guy Haberman. And I don't want to go on and on about this, but yeah, there's years where you think I'm not going to make enough. I'm not going to get there.
When was the last time you thought that you might fail as a journalist or you might have to change jobs?
I never thought I would fail as a journalist. I always thought I was going to do this. It just was, oh my God, this person's making that and that person's making this. And I'm going to be making, you know, one third of that, one half of that. You know, when is this? There was a moment when I was doing the blog, which was very successful, but like how my thing is being everywhere, working a lot. And I think you can, you know, relate to that. Many people can relate to that. That's my thing. Well, how do I turn that into money? Right. I mean, at some point, you know, hey, listen, if I had never made it and I just was doing the work I wanted to do, I would have been happy. But I would at some point been a little disappointed. And I think as I transitioned to the Athletic, that was, you know, they're making that bet on you that you're willing to say, okay, I'm going to take the money on the come. I'm not going to take it all right now. And I think after the first, I'll just say the first 3 weeks at the Athletic Bay Area, when those subscriptions came in, I didn't have to worry about that ever again because those subscriptions were pouring in. And we knew we had a model. It is somewhat amusing to me that, you know, people at the Athletic have asked me, are very curious about the Standard. The New York Times wrote about this Standard like 3 weeks ago. It was hilarious. Like, wow, they're my former employer is writing about my next employer because they were interested in it. It's an interesting model. But you know what the model is, Guy Haberman? It's going to be the Athletic model because they're going to go subscription. I mean, they've been clear about it. It's free now, but they will go to a subscription. That's why they bring in sports. David Lombardi and myself are starting the sports department. If you want people to subscribe to your news operation, you do need a strong element of sports. I believe that. They believe that. And there should be no curiosity about how I think that works. I just lived through it at the Athletic Bay Area, where I've said this before, the company itself is not profitable. But man, if you cut off the Athletic Bay Area and made that its own entity, that goddamn thing would be very profitable. I guarantee you that is not even arguable in my mind. I know the numbers. So I just think the Standard has a huge start on that by doing the great stuff they've been doing for 2+ years on the city side, AI coverage, tech, all these things. You add sports to it in a smart way. You do subscriptions. I just see it. I see it there. I live through it. It's one of the things the Standard likes about me is I understand that process. I just think it's the way it has to be. There is some Athletic feel to it. Early days at the Athletic. Old timers at the Athletic, we talk about those days. They were wild. They were risky, but they were incredibly fulfilling. And I'm kind of going through that right now.
That was everyone's second question was, do I have to pay for this?
You're going to have to.
But I mean, the reality is that news cost money for almost all of its history, then became free for a little bit of time. And now, you know,
a disastrous time.
Yeah. Because it changed everybody's expectations. All right. So the Standard is a startup.
Yeah. For a couple of years ago. Yeah. They started more than, the exact time into 2 or 3 years ago, launched a digital operation, launched in San Francisco, and it's covered the city incredibly. The stories are creative, thoughtful, very digital operation, very nimble. Has made great inroads into readership in San Francisco.
I'm going to interrupt you because I know sure. How much time we have. Sports gives you a lot of access to a lot of things and a lot of people. And this, with all the similarities to the Athletic, I can see a few differences. One being that the Athletic joined a news organization later. This is sports being added to what is already a news organization. And I wonder, you live in San Francisco. You know, when you know the sports of a place, you also know the place very well. And sports and politics in this city have intertwined. And not just politics, but like the civil news of the town, and definitely like I think one recent example is the Giants' ability to sign free agents and the attractiveness of the city to Major League Baseball players. Do you think you'd ever, like to me, there is a place for somebody like Tim Kawakami to write about sports and also write about news, local news in a way that what was Herb's last name?
Herb Cain. Massive. Yeah. Incredible. I grew up reading Herb Cain. Yeah.
He didn't write sports.
No.
Right. But he just wrote San Francisco.
Yeah.
Should you do that? Like, is somebody inside? I don't want to flatter you either, but you're very smart and observant. Shouldn't you maybe write about more than just Javon Hargrave's torn bicep?
Yeah, not and just that Javon Hargrave doesn't think that's a
no, I understand, idea. But I'm being a little pushy. Yeah,
I'm flattered that you're asking. Hey, I just asked Steve Kerr if he would run for office at any point, so I have to say this is fair to ask me. I never really thought about that. I think sports is so big. I think the running of franchises is so important. I think so many, you know,
but it's also not separate from this other stuff.
No, but it's a mix of it, and you mix it in when you know. Kaepernick obviously was all about that. I just don't feel that there's something that I would add a great deal there. You know, at some point maybe I would feel that. I don't feel that right now. I feel my strength is what I do. You see what I do. That was my conversation with Griffin Gaffney, CEO of the Standard, is that I do what I do. You see what I do. I don't think it's going to change very much. I don't think it should change. I could do some other things here and there. We'll see. I know David has a strong feel for, you know, the culture of the city, connect to sports bars and restaurants. Yeah. And I think he's going to do that. I don't know. I mean, you see Kamala Harris coming through this. You see Gavin Newsom. Like, you see what San Francisco means to not just California politics, but to national politics, world politics. But I don't quite feel that. I think I do what I do at the level I do it. I don't want to start like thinking about things I haven't done. You know, I've had Gavin Newsom on the podcast. You know, I would love to do it again. I'd love to have other people. I just don't know that that's where I'm going to be right now at my stage of my career. We'll see. It's an interesting question. Again, I just asked Steve Kerr about what his larger views and larger, you know, possibilities might be. It's fair to ask me, but I don't quite feel that.
This is not what we're here to talk about, really. But, you know, the Ricky Pearsall situation becomes an opportunity for somebody to have power of the pen, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there is.
I guess so. I don't do that stuff. And I don't want to get into culture wars. I think it's just so easy. Let's just write the stuff straight up. Like, I'll just go back to it really did hit me what I wrote about Kaepernick. It wasn't political. It was, why is this wrong? Why can't someone just say these things and be a quarterback? Why do you have to hate him and then decide he's a terrible quarterback? You could be a guy that whose opinions you hate and he's a good quarterback. What is the feeling that you have to agree with someone's politics that thinks he's a good quarterback? I really drove down on that and what really happened here and what his teammates really thought about him and what Chip Kelly really thought about the whole thing. I'm a practical columnist. What's happening in the locker room? What matters to those people? What wins or loses games? And so the Ricky Pearsall thing became, you know, I think Scott also wrote a great column. It just became this political football or social football. My opinion is this. So therefore Ricky Pearsall shooting means this. I hate that. I really don't like that because sports just becomes this plaything for other people's culture war. I get really specific and I just don't see one example. Because he's a San Francisco 49er, it now means this greater thing as opposed to any other thing that happens in any other city at any other time. I really resist that. And I think that's what'll get me from not writing. I just don't do that. I'll leave it to others. I don't, you know, Ethan Strauss, my good friend, is really all over that. I don't even know if he wrote that much on the Pearsall shooting. It's a shooting. It's terrible. But I don't want to get into this now means this. This, because it's a San Francisco 49er, we must now think greater about it. Like, well, no, he's a human being. There's other human beings. That's how I feel about it. I think my political opinions are pretty well known. But I try not to bring that in too much into what I write about wins and losses. It's what I really believe. I'm writing about values as they relate to winning and losing and deciding things and you know, how organizations are run. If some of that bleeds into politics, that's fine. I certainly agree with Steve Kerr on almost all political things, but I can, you know, evaluate him as a coach one way or the other based on what he does as a coach. So I guess that's my answer. I mean, I hadn't even thought about it that way, but when you bring up the Pearsall thing, I really resist the simplification of this because it's a sports person. Well, what about the person who's not in sports? That person deserves a lot of thought too. And I get really, really leery of, oh my God, because he's a 49er, now this means the world is changing. No, it shouldn't. the world changes based on what the world changes on, not because of the San Francisco 49er. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I could argue about this with you. I would love to, actually. it's not really argue. The point is not it matters more. The point is somebody is listening. It may listen, is open to hearing from you. Like, it's a moment if you wanted to share your opinion on something.
But I also think not writing about it is a stance to me. To me, it is. So, but I get it. I don't disagree, and I will read great stuff. Again, Osler's piece was great. It's exactly what I would have wished I would have written. I didn't. I just wasn't going to write about it. Other than it's something the 49ers are dealing with amidst all these other things. If Ricky Pearsall wants to make it political, he can't. Absolutely. Well,
political almost makes it something other than it is. I guess what I'm saying, and we can move on, is that even though The Athletic became part of the New York Times, the standard, there is something about it that feels hyper-involved and hyper-local in a powerful way that is different.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I just don't think I'm going to be part of that. I just don't. And people can judge that whichever way they want to. I will write about it when I feel like it becomes part of the organization's fate, you know, the future. If, you know, the Giants can't sign a free agent because of what's happening in Union Square, that's something I'll write about. Yeah. And we will touch on broader issues that way. I just don't get into the other way. I just see too many people. This is my cause. This is what I believe in. And so this one thing happening over there, I will now jam it over here. And this now proves everything. I won't do that. I really dislike it when I see other people do it, and I won't do it myself.
Yeah. Imagine if somebody did it in the right way.
Yeah, but that's tough. Okay. It's tough to do.
It is. Yeah. You have a podcast. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with this deal. This is a different deal.
Yeah, I took the TK show to Odyssey in November. I think we talked about it. It was really hard to pull it out of The Athletic, even though I had every right to do it. That was one of the final straws for me. It was how difficult it was to get out, even though I started TK show before The Athletic, had an agreement with the founder that became very tricky to deal with The Athletic. They let it out. They let me out of it. To take it elsewhere. I never thought they valued it. I never thought they backed it up. So let me take it somewhere where I can make it more valuable. And guess what? It's valuable. It is valuable. Doing the TK show, doing 49ers Plus Minus with Matt Barros, doing North and South with Dylan Hernandez. We created our own value. I really believe in that. Like, you create your own value, and you need to be rewarded for it if it succeeds. And some of these bigger organizations, it just becomes part of the bureaucracy. Of the bureaucrat wants credit for it. The bureaucrat wants to be understood to be the value. And okay, that's the way you set it up. As someone who creates this content, I hate that phrasing, but I guess I'll use it generally. I'm going to be saying, I think I'm the one who's valuable here. I think the show is valuble. And I that was a stress point for me. I probably would have gone at some point, no matter what, from The Athletic, but that rumble, like, it was bad. It was there. They tried to do some things I really didn't like through that whole process. Was to me like, this is a bureaucracy that just exists for itself. It doesn't exist to get better stuff. In fact, it exists like they were daring me to kill the podcast, essentially daring me to kill it. And I thought I had a value and I was going to pull it out, and I did. And I'll just say the same thing's happening with Warriors Plus Minus right now. I will not speak too much about it because it's still in negotiations, but I don't
like it. It belongs to The Athletic. This is with Anthony Slater. And
yeah, it belongs Marcus to me Thompson. And Marcus Thompson. We own it 50-50, but we had the same deal with The Athletic under previous ownership that they are making it very difficult to get it out. And I am not happy about this. And I will try to withhold some, you know, again, this is all up in the air. But it's something that Marcus and I created before we got to The Athletic. We did it on our own once we got to The Athletic. And we lost the feed even then because the Mercury News wouldn't give it to us. So we started all over again, but never had the backing of The Athletic ever. We did it ourselves. We lost production, you know, manpower. Never was part of their thing because the bureaucrat didn't come up with it. Bureaucrat comes up with something else. That's what the bureaucrat wants. That's just the world of bureaucracy. I get it. That's their right. they have built this company on bureaucracy lately. You know, it was writers in the beginning. It's bureaucrats now. Bureaucrats don't think writers are valuable. Bureaucrats think bureaucrats are valuable. And this became symbolic to me. And now Warriors Plus Minus is I'm probably messing it up by saying all this, but I will stop here. I want to be honest about it. And it's a mess. It's a mess right now. And, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, they're basically daring us to not do the show anymore. So you dare me to do something? Fine. I'll start another one. I'll start from scratch again. I'm not going to be held hostage by the fact that I think a podcast is valuable. I'll just start another one somewhere else. Yeah. And, you know, it's infuriating, but it's the way life goes.
Are you actively recruiting?
I'm not recruiting
Marcus Thompson.
Marcus is under contract. You know, I mean, it's a fair question to ask since that was, you know, my co-pilot for the Athletic Bay Area. I would not have gone without Marcus. I'm on the record about that. He's so important. He's such a vital part of what we did, and he's such a vital part of the Athletic now that, you know, they are going to keep. He's so valuable. He's so good. I'm so proud that not of him, because that makes it patronizing. I'm proud that I recognized it. I saw it. He did it all his own. But at the Mercury News, he was not that valued until, you know, towards the end of his time there, because they just didn't see it. Then he became a columnist and everyone went, wow, look at this guy. Well, it was there the whole time. And then, like, if we're going to go to the Athletic Bay Area, it's going to be me and Marcus. And we waited for the right time and we did it. So he's so valuable. They cannot, you know, they understand it. They acknowledge it. I hope they acknowledge it more and more and more and more. So that's all I'll say about that. Would I love to work with Marcus again at some point in the distant future? 100%. But he's there, and he should be there for some time.
So is this an equity deal for you in part? With
not,
the Standard?
Not as much it was with the Athletic. No, this is
further along, right, than the Athletic was when you joined the Athletic.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this isn't, you know, I mean, again, whether when it succeeds, I succeed, but this is more just make it right for me. Make it right for me and I'll come. And they made it right for me, 100% understood. And then let me do my thing. And, you know, beyond that, no, I'm not trying to, you know, this is not a, you know, they're going to get bought and I'm going to, you know, that's not it. And the Athletic really wasn't even that. I mean, other than knowing that getting stock in this company was going to be a smart thing. It was like, let's just do good work. Let's get paid for it. And then if the company becomes more valuable, then our stake in it is going to be very valuable. That happened. This isn't because of that, because I feel, you know, rewarded from that. I just want to get paid what I feel that I'm worth. And then let's start this and go down that road. But no, it's not an equity play.
Michael Moritz.
Yeah, he's the funder. He's the guy. Absolutely. Big time guy. But yeah, he's the one providing the funds for the Standard. And I like the guy. He's a former journalist. He's become a VC titan. I kind of like that. I like that career path. He was covering, you know, he was Time Magazine's tech reporter, Steve Jobs and all that stuff. And so, you know what, this VC thing, I think I can do it. And he quit journalism, became a venture capitalist and just kicked ass doing it. You know, one of the early investors in all the big name companies and now has a vision for the Standard to be a profitable voice of, you know, a region. And I think they're well on their way to doing this. Smart journalism, smart people. Digitally, you know, all digital, all thoughtful. I've been reading it for years. Like I said, I've been reading it for 2 years because they first approached me a couple of years ago, and I've been impressed by everything they've done. And Michael Moritz is he's a stud. He's a guy that I asked Joe Lacob about, and Lacob went, "Whoa, that's a pretty big time guy." And so when Joe Lacob says that about a VC guy, that guy's pretty big time.
You know, I don't, you tell me, I don't think we probably don't have time to talk about the Niners, which is fine. You, sure. You talk about a lot of Niners, whatever, but I'll just finish with this question. Cause I think it is every discussion about media is underneath it is some version of the question of what is a sure bet in the next 10 years in media. And that can be journalism, that can be television, which is, you know, it wasn't that long ago you knew what a sure bet in sports television was. And a lot of people are losing a lot of money in sports television. And a lot of people are making a lot of money.
Yeah.
But what to you, if I said, Tim, what is a sure bet in the next 10 years in sports media? Not one particular entity, but one way to do business. What is it?
I guess I'm going to answer it in a very personal way. I just think, you know, reported analytical journalism never loses. The format changes. The companies change, as you can tell by my career recently. But The Athletic really checked the box for me because it's something I've been talking about maybe for 20 years. When I was at the LA Times, I could kind of feel, this is a long time ago, like this, I don't know anybody my age or younger who's subscribing to the newspaper. Even then, this is like 1996. Like, I don't know that this is going to be the right way. And the loyal readership that you've got to the LA Times back then is going to die off. And we've seen that consistently. I don't know any guy. Do you know anybody other than, you know, somebody your parents' age who subscribes to a newspaper? I sure don't.
It goes down to the driveway to pick it
up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't exist anymore. So, but you can get people to take their credit card out for stuff that's worth something digitally. That became the delivery system. It's the same stuff, or, you know, versions of the same stuff that just jumped to a different platform. I just think that stuff is, you know, and then if this doesn't work or ends, you know, its era, then there will be another platform. People will always want to read this stuff. What The Athletic did was, it doesn't need to be 300,000 people. It needs to be paying 25 cents a copy. It needs to be 15,000 paying $80 a year or whatever the number is. Be very targeted. That's, again, my great disappointment with The Athletic, is they're not targeted anymore. They just want the biggest number of hits. They want, you know, the broadest audience possible, but it's, you know, a quarter inch thick. I like to drill down the people who, they've got to read David Lombardi's, you know, Monday recap. They've got to read my scapegoat list, the 49ers, which I'm going to revive this week, because it's the continued story. It's, this is somebody I know has written what he said. I know what he thought about Ronnie Bell in training camp. He drops the big pass. I know there's a history there. What's he going to say about Ronnie Bell? That doesn't happen nationally. It does not happen nationally. It happens locally. I love that I came up with that example just off the top of my head. That's what I'm talking about. That literally is what I'm talking about. Or Nick Sorensen, he's the new defensive coordinator. What's going on? Someone just told me, like, you're the only person, or maybe I'm not the only person, they said to me, that the only person that brought up questions about Nick Sorensen in the post game, not in post game conference, but in the column. Like, because why? Because I, you know, Steve Wilks, you know, we know D'Amico Ryans, we know what they're trying to do. Let's see what Brandon Staley, you know, I've talked to Brandon Staley since he's been the 49er assistant. This continued story is important to the people who matter to journalism. It's the people who will pay for it. That is it. It's not the people who won't pay for it. It's the people who will pay for it. Can you get them into your corridor? Can you get them into your spot? And because they want to hear what you say every time. I've always believed that. And for some reason, sports journalism has gone far away from that. And they want to win contests. And they want to impress themselves. And they want to help, you know, hold, you know, national conferences where they clap each other on the back. And I never understood that, ever. Like, what's important to this community that will get 8,000 people to say, I got to read this guy, this woman, this story, this beat. And I feel fulfilled that we did this at the Athletic Bay Area. I think the Athletic is getting away from, I have, you know, it's not new. I've said this to people all the way up the chain. My opinion there, as someone said, is very well known. But I just honestly think the beat writing, local columns, there's always going to be a commercial value to that, always, wherever it is. There's other commercial markets available to many other people, TV people, podcasters, whatever. I just think, for my purposes, what I see is that this stuff is valuable. It is. And we got to be, you know, adept at it, and we've got to be quick with it, and we've got to understand where the market is and what the platform is. But what the good stuff is always going to be a value. You know, Matt Maiocco, Matt Barros, Eric Branch on the 49ers are always going to be valuable because they're locally in touch with it. Nick Wagner on ESPN to a broader base, but it's local. this stuff is important. Anthony Slater, and you know, I'll say myself and Marcus Thompson, we've been there. This stuff is important. It's just different than somebody dropping in nationally. And I think so many people have lost their way on this, have lost their sense of this is what's about, what people really care about. It's not the stuff that, you know, oh, we drove the clicks and we tricked them into reading this story. Isn't that great? There's so many meetings about that at The Athletic and other places. How do we, they don't say how do we trick people, but how do we get
algorithms?
Yeah, let's just set the right SEO, the right word will get people to read the story. And they work backwards. Like, quality isn't the conversation, it's how do we get the clicks. It should be the good story gets the, this is the start of it. No. It's how do we do this headline that makes this mediocre story or whatever get, you know, viral. I can't stand that. I cannot stand that. So again, I worked with it. I took their money. I'm not saying I'm better than it. I'm just saying I disagree with it. And after some point, when somebody offered me something that it wasn't that, I had to go for it. I had like, where was I, what was I going to do with myself if I wasn't going to try this? And I don't even think it's a risk. I think it's a sure bet. I really do. I tend not to get these things wrong, guy. I don't tend to get these things wrong. And I feel this one very strongly.
Tim Kawakami, thanks for being on your show.
The Guy Haberman TK show.
We could go forever. There's a lot to.
We'll have you back on. There's a lot of conversation. We'll see if I blew up all other things. But I try. I like those people. That's the funny thing is I like the very top people of the company. I've talked to them. I'm not hiding anything. I never, you know me, guy. There's no question of what I've felt for the last 3 years. Nobody can say that at the company, and I'm going to express it. I'm going to express what I feel is valuable and what I feel is not valuable. And when you keep hiring bureaucrats to try to throw up SEO phrases and that's all you talk about in company meetings, you're getting far afield from what I think is truly valuable. Again, it's great company, great people, incredible writers. Just saw Jordan Rodriguez, you know, covers the Rams. She's incredible. There's so many great people there. I wish them the best. I wish them to be as free of the bureaucrats as possible. But those bureaucrats, it's hard to get them out of there. And with that,
I look forward to seeing you in the news section of the San Francisco Standard.
Yeah, you're trying to get me to write columns here. I don't know if that's me there, yeah, guy. But that's all. We can have this conversation. Yeah, that's Ethan. Get Ethan going on that. All right, everybody. That's the TK show for now. And I don't know. I've done two TK shows today. I don't want to do a third one, but we'll see what we got. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tim.